Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you to another edition of Anchored in the Word, Morning Reflection. And today we are looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. I think this will be an extremely encouraging passage that we'll look at today. And I also wanted to say today is a very special day because we will be focusing our attention on the resurrection of Christ. And I know that there are a lot of people that are probably frustrated and disappointed that we're not able to meet together as local churches, but I want to remind you that we still can serve a risen Savior and focus our attention on Him. We still can proclaim the gospel to people. In fact, when I think about today, I think that the gospel will be proclaimed throughout the world more than ever before in a public way. And because of all these churches that are going to be streaming their services, there'll be a tremendous amount of access to the gospel. And so I rejoice in the fact that we serve a risen Savior, and I rejoice in the fact that many people today will have the opportunity to come in contact with the gospel. And so we rejoice in the many blessings of God. Let's look down in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'll read the verses together, and then we'll reflect for a few minutes on what is a very current and important passage of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 3:1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it is come to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. You know, when we look at this passage of Scripture, the summary statement that I wrote down this morning was this. Paul wanted the Thessalonians to know that he was concerned for their well-being as they suffered. And so he explains why he sent Timothy to be with them and to encourage them. As we reflect on that point that Paul is communicating, there are just a couple things that I've observed that I think will be an encouragement to you. The first is this. Paul not only rejoiced in the church, and we know that because we think about the verses before him. He was truly thankful to God for that church and the power of their conversion and the steadfastness of their faith. But even though he rejoiced in the church, he also felt this tremendous burden for their spiritual well-being. And that's why he sent Timothy there. He not only felt that burden, but he wanted to care for them as best he could. And so he sent Timothy. Look down at what it says in verses 1 and 2. He says, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you. Now, notice those two words that he mentions when he talks about Timothy's ministry. It was to establish and it was to comfort. In other words, Timothy was supposed to go and he was to come alongside of those people who were going through tremendous difficulty. And he was to minister truth to them. He was to establish them in the faith. He was to help them to have the theological groundwork to deal with the things that they were dealing with. He needed to provide biblical answers as best as he could so that as they were going through these difficulties, they had the voice of truth speaking to them. The other word that's very important is the word comfort. And this is the same word that's used of the Holy Spirit when it says he's our paraclete. He's our encourager. He's our comforter. He's the one that comes alongside of us and strengthens us as we're going through life. That's the role that Timothy was to play for the church. He was to come alongside and encourage them and strengthen them. A second observation we find here is in verses 3 to 4. Paul reminded them that their sufferings should not unsettle them because God is sovereign in the midst of their sufferings. Even though they were going through difficult times, Paul said, listen, God's in control. God is guiding circumstances. God is limiting. God is protecting you. He's teaching you through these things. You know, there are times that we go through difficulties and there are no answers. God doesn't speak to us in an audible voice and say, here's why I did this. And here's the explanation. The truth is, sometimes God is silent. I think of the example of Job. And the truth is that at the end of the book, Job never got an answer from God as to why he dealt with what he did. But he was reminded of one very simple but important truth. God is good, and God is sovereign, and God is all-wise. And God's still on his throne, and God's in control. And these Christians needed to be reminded of the fact that God is sovereign. He rules over all things. The third observation that stood out to me was this. Paul understood how suffering gives Satan opportunity to shake our faith and inject lies into our thinking. The truth is, when we go through difficulty, we ask questions. And sometimes we don't get answers to those questions. And not only are we asking questions, but we're asking questions at a point in our lives when we're experiencing pain. And we're feeling emotionally worn down. And especially if the duration of those events is long, we begin to think things that aren't true. Now, we might know inherently that they're not true, but the truth is, the longer you hear a lie, the more convincing it can become. And so in verse 5, he says, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith." In other words, I wanted to know if you were stable, if you were doing okay, if you were trusting in the Lord, if you were thriving or not. "Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor was in vain." He's concerned that in the midst of these sufferings, this young church, this church who had a vibrant faith, who had a powerful conversion, a church that Paul was very thankful for and rejoiced in God's presence over this church, that this church could become unsettled and that Satan could inject lies into their thinking that would trouble them and cause them to begin to waver in their faith. Paul understood human nature in the midst of suffering. And by the way, one of the reasons that Paul knew that is because he knew what it was like to suffer. Paul knew what it was like to be in the prison. And Paul interacted with lots and lots of Christians who were going through difficulties. And so he understood human nature when we carry those loads. So my question is, how can we practically apply these simple little observations? And here are the things I jotted down this morning. I hope they'll be an encouragement to you. The first is this: we need to look out for people when they're going through tough times. The truth is that Paul was far more concerned about their well-being than he was about their own well-being. And he expressed it by saying, "We were willing to be left alone in Athens to send Timothy." And Timothy was the most trusted minister that he had with it. Paul had a very close relationship with Timothy. He trusted Timothy. He loved Timothy. Timothy was an incredible asset to the work that Paul was doing. He said, "I was willing to send Timothy to minister to you and be left alone here," because he felt that burden. The truth is that when people are going through hard times, we need to look out for them. At a time like what we're dealing with right now, where people can't get out as much as they normally do. They can't even go to the store. They can't do basic things. They can't assemble and meet together. There's a lot of restriction going on right now. We need to look out for one another. We need to think about those who are most vulnerable, those who carry the heaviest burden during a time like this. And like Paul looked out for the church at Thessalonica, we need to look out for them. A second thing is that our ministries should have this balance of both encouragement and instruction. And really, encouragement will be the first thing that we give, and it's something that's extremely important. You know, when people are suffering, they don't need you to hit them over the head with facts. They need you to come alongside of them, and they need you to lament with them. They need you to weep with them. They need you to encourage them. They need you to listen to them. They need you to just be there, maybe as a silent encourager. They need those texts of encouragement. They need those phone calls. They need those notes of encouragement that you might send. They need that little gift that you might send through Amazon. The truth is that people need encouragers. And along the line, as we encourage, God will open up doors for us to speak truth to those who suffer. And there will be times that people ask questions, and there'll be people that say, "I don't understand." And to the very best of our ability, when we can give answers, we can do that, and we should do that. But our ministry of encouragement needs to be balanced. A third observation of application is this: we need to be reminded constantly that God is sovereign when we suffer. The truth is that if God's not in control, we're in trouble. If God is in control, even though we don't get the answers maybe that we want or the answers that we feel that we need, we have this one solid rock. God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And God is going to take the events that we're going through. He's going to use them for some good purpose in His plan and in His wisdom. We can trust Him in the midst of that. And the final thought that I think is an important application is God's people need to make sure they don't withdraw from those places where God gives them access to truth. In other words, when we suffer, we have a tendency to pull away from other Christians. We have a tendency to pull away from church. We have a tendency to pull away from the places that we get truth. And God's people need to make sure that they are coming in contact with those tools that God uses to strengthen them. God doesn't just zap strength into His people. He doesn't just zap grace into us. He works through means. God uses His word. He uses His people. He uses the encouragement of others to come alongside of us and to expose the lies that we believe and to root those lies out and to replace them with truth. The truth is, Satan would love to take advantage of us in our moments of great weakness. And we need to come in contact with the truth where God can strengthen and encourage us. I hope that the things that we shared this morning will be a blessing. I am thankful that today, even though we're going to have an empty church building, we're going to have a live stream going on where lots and lots of people will be able to come under the ministry of the word. And so this week, as I was studying, as I was reflecting on the passages that we're going to deal with, my heart was encouraged. Because the truth is that even though we can't meet physically, we have a wonderful platform to proclaim the gospel. And so I want to encourage you this morning, count your blessings. Think about the work of Christ and what He accomplished for you on the cross. Think about the empty tomb. And be thankful that we live in a day where we can still meet together on some level. We can still proclaim the gospel. And God can use this in a mighty way. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. And I hope you have a wonderful morning. Father, we thank You for this encouragement from Your word. As the Apostle Paul was burdened for the people at Thessalonica, help us to look out for those who are vulnerable and have tremendous need. Father, as the Apostle Paul was concerned that Satan would take advantage of these moments of weakness, I pray that You'd help us to fix our minds on the truth, help us to reflect deeply and to meditate upon what is true and what is right. Help us to be constantly coming in contact with Your word, the means that You use to strengthen us as Your people, to shape our thinking in the midst of hardship. Father, I pray that Your blessings would be upon Your people today. I pray that it would be a wonderful day of remembering the resurrection of Christ and reflecting on the hope that we have in Christ, that we will stand complete in Him, and that we will joy eternity with You forever because of the gospel. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope that you have a wonderful morning, and I look forward to seeing many of you on our live stream today. And I hope that this reflection from God's word was a blessing. Have a great day.